master of Lycia is standing at the helm. He'll always keep our vessel on its course. Lord, put some wind in my sails when against my ship the sea of life prevails. When I'm drifting from my course and all my strength has failed, Lord, put some wind in my sails. If your ship is lost and you're drifting aimlessly, crashing on the jagged rocks of sin, let me introduce you to the master of life's sea, who can guide your vessel safe to heaven's strand. Lord, put some wind in my sails when against my ship the sea of life prevails. When I'm drifting from my course and all my strength has failed, Lord, put some wind in my sails. When I'm drifting from my course and all my strength has failed, Lord, put some wind in my
Man, amen. All right, wonderful. Thank you, Brother Combs. I can hear Kurt LeBeau singing that song. By the way, Brother LeBeau will be with us on Sunday, November 28th, all day long, and be singing in the morning, be preaching and singing in the evening. That's the Sunday after Thanksgiving. And Brother Kurt LeBeau will be here and be spending all day with us on that particular day. If you don't know Brother Kurt LeBeau, he is a blind evangelist, but he also sings and plays the piano. And so quite incredible. And but God, you know, he puts folks in the body of Christ in exactly the right place that he wants them, and it gives them talents and abilities to accomplish the purpose for which he created them. And infirmities, that's no big deal with God. He just operates around those infirmities if people will be willing to allow him to do so. Well, it's good to see you tonight here on this first Wednesday night. I've been thinking about this for a long time. What shall we do on that first Wednesday night? And now I'm kind of a guy that I don't have a problem on Wednesday night. I'm just stringing a bunch of sermons together, and you can call it a series, or you can call it a lesson, or you can call it whatever that you want. But I just thought here on this Wednesday night, and probably for the next several Wednesday nights, we're going to just do a little examination. And now, let me say to you that when you read Scripture, you will find out that you will experience three examinations. First of all, you ought to experience a self-examination, which is what we're going to start off with. Then you will experience an examination by men. People will examine you. And then we find out that not only should we experience a self-examination and that men will examine you, then God will examine. Now, take your Bible, if you would, please. We're going to read just a few verses here tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. And verse number 5. Once you find your place, you can stand with me, if you would, please. We're probably not going to get a whole a great distance tonight in the first message in this little string of series on examination, but you know, hey, if we just get just the preliminaries down, just find out a little bit about this thing of examining ourselves, Then you know what? If we'll do that, then we'll find out that when men examine us and God examine us, we can handle it. We can deal with it. But I want to talk to you tonight about the examination by self. The examination by self. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, if you would please, and verse number 5. Paul writing here to the church at Corinth. Now, let me, if you're a new believer here tonight, and we do have several, when you read about the church at Corinth and you read 1 Corinthians, you think, man, these people are messed up big time. Yeah? And a lot of churches are messed up big time. You see, that's what happens when the people do that which is right in their own eyes without any regard to the Bible. But then as Paul appealed to them and worked with them and preached to them, a transition took place in the church at Corinth. And then we read in 2 Corinthians, things began to be resolved. Things begin to get better. They begin to get a hold of what sincere Christianity was all about. It wasn't about them. It was about God. It wasn't about pleasing themselves. It was about pleasing God. And so they begin to get a hold of this concept and this truth of serving God because you love Him. And then he comes to the conclusion of 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5, and this is what he tells the church to do. He says, examine yourselves. Now, I want to say this to you. We find in the Bible that men will examine us, but you know, he did not say for you and I to go around examining each other. All right? That is not your job. Your job is to examine yourself. All right? God's job is to examine you based on yourself and how you deal and what relationship you have then. You'll find out that if you'll examine yourself and God examines you based on that, then when men examine you, they ought to see the right thing. Okay? Now, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Turn now, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm going to read just a few verses here. And I think you'll recognize in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul rehearses the words that we study, that we use here, and reminds them about taking the Lord's Supper. Now, this church was so carnal and had gotten so away from God that they thought having the Lord's Supper meant having a cookout. That's what they thought. They thought it was some type of belly feast. They thought it was just some type of thing that you just get together and everybody just came and brought your own finger foods and everybody just had a good time. So he had to correct this. And one of the things that he told the church to do, he says, ladies and gentlemen, prior to you taking the Lord's bread and the Lord's body and the Lord's cup, I want to show you what he told them to do before they ever participated in one of the things that God left the church to outside of baptism was to administer the Lord's Supper. And I want you to notice what he says in verse number 28, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Look down at verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, I want to take these verses tonight, church, and talk to you for the few moments that we have. And kind of tonight, it's just going to be really just kind of laying a foundation for the messages to follow after this. I want to talk to you tonight about the first of the three types of examination that you and I ought to experience and will experience in our life. The first one ought to be self-examination. The examination of your life by self. Now, Father, I commend this service into your hands. I do ask you, Holy Ghost of God, that you do something special in our hearts. Meet with us tonight, teach us from the Bible, and we'll give you the glory for what you shall do in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, most people that I know don't care nor do they enjoy examinations. The reason I know that they don't enjoy examinations is because we do everything that we can to stop from going to the doctor. Right? I mean, I'm telling you, we'll suck down every herb known to man. We'll drink every tea known to man to try to stop from going to the doctor and get an examination. You see, we know that what he's going to want to do in when he performs that examination, we're going to go there and he's going to determine what's wrong with us in that examination, and then he's going to diagnose our problem. And see, one of the reasons that we're fearful of self-examination, because we're afraid of what we're going to find. You see, that's the reason people are afraid to go to the doctor when they have a little twitch, you know, and they thought, oh, boy, that felt something up here where the heart is. Man, I feel something in my back. I feel something in my leg. I just don't feel good. I hadn't felt good. And they're afraid to go to the doctor because what he's going to do, he's going to put them through a strenuous examination to diagnose what their problem is. Are you like me? Do you kind of not want to know what the problems are? You just kind of think it what you don't know is not going to hurt you? Can I say this to you? What you don't know will hurt you. You see, you can ignore it all you want. But until we get the diagnosis, until there's an examination that takes place, you're never going to find out what the problems are. See, when we go to the doctor, we know the reason we want to avoid it, because we know when we go for an examination, he's going to listen to our heart. He's going to listen to our breathing. He's going to look in our ears, up our nose, down our throat. As a matter of fact, he may even require a little x-ray. Just a full scan x-ray. And he may even draw blood if need be. You see, and then after he does all of that, if your doctor's like mine, then he's going to sit down and start asking questions about where does it hurt? How long has it been going on? What about this? What about that? You know, half the time I tell the doctor what's wrong with me before I even go on the examination. He says, is that right? Well, what did we give you last time that you're in here? And I told him what he did. He says, well, do you think that worked? Yeah, that worked. He said, let's just go ahead and do that again. And I leave out of there and go to the front desk with a bill and pay my bill. And I thought, what am I paying for? I diagnosed myself, told him what I needed, and I'm paying him? Something wrong with this. You see, but what happens is we know that a thorough examination is going to take place. And when a thorough examination takes place, what it's going to do is going to reveal my condition. It's going to reveal my condition and produce a diagnosis of where I am and where I want to be. You know, when I go into the doctor sick, he tells me where I am. And I say, listen, he says, do you want to get well? Yes, I want to get well. He says, here's your Z-Pack. So he writes me a prescription for the Z-Pack. Man, I tell you, I love those things because it's only 5 days. You just eat that stuff like candy. You know, I used to years ago, before I got any sense, and I don't have a whole lot now, but before I got a little bit of sense, I thought the more you took, the faster you got well. Now, don't laugh. Some of you thought the same thing, didn't you? Huh? The more of this medication I take, the faster I'm going to get well. I found out the more you take, the sicker you get in other ways. Now, the reason that most of us despise examination is for several things. And by the way, if you believe in writing in your Bible, taking notes, you can take some notes. You can study this out on your own. But I'm just going to give you some things, reason why we don't like self-examination and going through the examination process. First of all, because it's inconvenient. We all have schedules, right? We all have lives. Hey, I ain't got time, preacher. What are you talking about? Self-examination. I ain't got time for that kind of stuff. I don't have time to sit down and think about my problems. I don't have time to think about what my situation is, how good my relationship is with God. I ain't got time to think about my church attendance and my giving record and all these kind of things and my walk with God. I don't have time to think about all that. I got things to do, preacher, places to go, people to see. Right? That's how we think. You see, the reason we don't like it is because it becomes inconvenient to us. Because it takes time to get it done. It takes some sincere soul searching in our life. You see, it's difficult. It's a little bit awkward to perform because we go and we stand there in front of a mirror, or we sit on the side of the bed and we say, well, self, here we are. And I noticed you got a little out of hand today, self. Kind of let the tongue go a little bit and kind of hurt somebody's feelings and said some things you shouldn't have said. And boy, I tell you something, self, we shouldn't be doing that. Now, what happens is you say, you talk to yourself like that, Brother Todd, only when people are not around. Because I found out if I do that out in public, the tendency is that they call the folks in the white suits and they have this neat little brand new jacket that they want you to put on. Now, all I'm saying to you is a lot of times the reason we don't like examination is because it's inconvenience. It inconveniences our schedule, our life. And but by the way, we got things to do. We got places to be. We're busy. The problem is we're busy about all the things that usually are not related to our relationship with God. And we go about our business day after day after day. You know what? You need to take time, just like I need to take time, for self-examination. Sure, it's going to be inconvenient. Sure, it's going to be a little awkward. Sure, it's going to be a little bit difficult because you're not going to like what you have to see. Just like when you go to the doctor and you go to the doctor with fear and trepidation, not knowing what he's going to say and what he's going to diagnose. But may I say to you, Paul told the church at Corinth, not only in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, prior to the Lord's Supper, to examine themselves, he told them at the very end, he says, now guys, I want to remind you one more time to examine yourself. Examine yourself. Look inside and see what you're going to find. You see, the reason we don't like it, number one, is because it's inconvenient. May I say to you, number two, another reason that we don't like it is because it's invasive. It's aggressive. What it is, it's intrusive. And what happens is that it causes us to look inwardly, and boy, when we start looking inward, we don't like what we see inside. Because remember what we like to do, is we like to take all the bad stuff and we like to lock it up in our little secret room where we only have the key to it and nobody can get into that room but us. And the only time we open it up is to kick some more of our stuff in there and lock it up. You see, what happens is self-examination. It's aggressive. It's intrusive into our life because we get to see ourselves as we are. Now, most adults don't do this, but teenagers do. You ever seen teenagers stand in front of a mirror? And they're there and they're looking at themselves in the mirror. You know what I'm talking about? And they're staring at themselves in the mirror, and it's the hilarious thing is just sit there and watch them. Guys, now listen, girls, I want to tell you something. Girl, we make fun of the girls in front of them. Guys are the worst. Because here's what they're looking. You know, and then they posture themselves. You know what I'm saying? And the real funny ones when they look there and they're going. You see, that's the reason we don't like self-examination, because it's inconvenient. And then what happens is it becomes very aggressive, intrusive in our life, because we get to see ourselves for what we really are. I cannot tell you how many times I've met people, and we'll get onto this later on in our study in this, but I cannot tell you how many people that I have met that sit I mean right in my office or in their home and told me, said, I hate myself. I hate the way I look. I hate the way I am. Many times, the reason they do that is because they looked inside and they saw what was inside and they hate it. They hate what they see. And so many times we don't like self-examination because it's inconvenient, it's intrusive, it's aggressive. And may I say to you, number three, it's incriminate. It charges you, it involves you in such a way that you thought, uh-oh, I'm guilty of that. You ever incriminated yourself? You say, well, that's the reason you got to be careful, can't be too honest these days. Incriminate yourself. And we've lost our mind. You see, we need to look inside. And what we're going to find is that we are going to find ourselves guilty on many accounts. Guilty before God. Guilty of sin. Guilty of doing some things we know that are absolutely contrary to the Bible. And so it's inconvenient. That's the reason we don't like it. That's the reason it's intrusive. That's the reason why it incriminates us. May I say to you, number four, though, it's informative. It's informative. Sometimes we don't even realize we're doing certain things until somebody else points it out. Now I'm self-conscious about this. That's the reason I won't go. You're going to think I did. A lot of times I'll go over and I don't even think about it. I just go over and I like playing with this little world. And then one of my kids said, Dad, you know, almost every time you preach, you go over and spin the word, and now I'm self-conscious about it. That's the reason I won't even go over there hardly anymore, because I'm afraid I'm going to go over there and spin it. But you know what? I didn't realize I was doing it until somebody pointed it out. You see, it's like the old thing. Sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. Isn't it amazing how that those that love us and those that are closest to us are able to see a whole lot more than we see about ourselves? You see, being self and having a self-examination is informative. It's instructive. It provides us with information about ourselves. And by the way, let me just stop and say this here. If you're going to be sincere and you're going to be honest about self-examination, then you need to go through the house and open up all the closets. Okay? You can't do a proper examination with certain doors closed in your life. You need to go through the house, open up all the doors, and let everything air out. Hey, when are we going to, like the old saying says, you know what, people have skeletons in the closet. When are we going to get rid of all that stuff? When are we going to open the doors of our life up and clean out all the closet from all the junk and stuff that we've stored that are contrary to serving God? You know when that's a spring cleaning. That's when we clean the house up. You see, a personal examination, a self-examination is informative. And then may I say to you, number five, it's intensive. It's intensive. It's concentrated. And by the time you get finished, it's exhaustive. Man, I didn't realize all that was going on inside me. I didn't realize I was doing that. I didn't realize all these things that I'm supposed to be doing and I'm not doing. You've heard me say many times, you know what? As pastor, I'm not concerned about knowing the entire Bible from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22. Because I ain't that smart, and most of us ain't that smart. What I'm concerned about is practicing the part of the Bible I do know. And what I need to be concerned about is what I do understand and what I do know. How about practicing that? Because I'm not going to be able to pick up on every single thing in the Bible. So you know what it is? It's intensive. Man, you start self-examination. Listen, I found out that when I start examining myself, I look at myself in one area, and you know what it does? It opens a door to something else. Then I thought, man, love, I didn't notice that door open before. I think I'm going to go through there. And I go through there, and I thought, man, love, I've never been in this room in my heart before. Man, love, I didn't know. Look at all this dirt. And all of a sudden, it leads to another door. And pretty soon I found out that as I examined my life,
doors, God continues to open one door after the next into compartments in areas that I didn't even know that I was doing. You see, a lot of us don't realize that unfaithfulness is against God. See, here's what we think. We think that only certain things is God concerned about as far as sin is concerned. But can I tell you, the foundation in which you and I will stand before God one day, the foundation is faith. And unfaithfulness to God in any area puts us in a very precarious situation. Now, for the next few minutes, I want to talk to you here, and I hope you understand that I need to say these things because it's important. If we're going to examine ourselves, then we need to take a thorough examination, right? If you went to the doctor, and you went in there and sat there, and he comes in and goes, yeah, you got the flu. I don't even have to look at it. I can look at you and tell you got the flu. Never took my temperature. Never looked in my ears at all the wax in there. Never looked up my nose. Never looked in my eyes. Never said, never looked down my throat. You ever been to the doctor? He says, cough for me. And then you ever had a doctor that takes his hand and thumps you on the back? Boom. Boom. If he did none of that, he just walked in and said, yeah, you got the flu. Here's your prescription. See you later. You're like, but, no, I know what you got. Go ahead, go on. If he never did any examination, wouldn't you have a question about that? Wouldn't you have a question about, you know what, you sure you're a doctor? You didn't do no examination. You see, most examinations are not fun. They're not fast. And may I say to you, they're not free. And you'll find in self-examination, there's not a whole lot of fun in it. There's not a whole lot of, and they don't go very fast. And by the time you get finished examining yourself, you'll find out that they're not free. You'll find out what you really, really are. And by the way, you said, preacher, how often should we do this? Pretty often. Yeah, pretty often. Pretty often. Now, here's what I want to cover. We've only got just a few minutes left here. First area that I want to cover with you tonight is what to examine about yourself. What to examine about yourself. Now, let me say this to you. Self-examination is one of the most difficult things to do simply because most of us believe that we're just fine, just like we are. How many times have you ever, you know you're sick, and you know you're not getting over it. If you're like me, you take 16,000 milligrams of vitamin C, thinking the more vitamin C I take, the quicker I'm going to get well. We inhale barley green. We drink green tea. We drink all that stuff. All that stuff does put me to sleep. We'll drink a half a bottle of NyQuil. Baptist. Well, I ain't going to say that. Tell you one thing, I don't know if it does anything too, but I tell you one thing, it sure knocks you out though. I don't know what it's got in it, but some people say it's got, you know. Now, we don't think that we have a problem, right? Look here, doc. Look, I don't need to go to the doctor. Look, mom, look. Look. See how I'm breathing? See, I don't need to go to the doctor. You say, but you had temperature last night. I don't have temperature this morning. Okay, well, let me go get the thermometer. As soon as mom goes around the corner, you run to the freezer, open up, stick your head in there, come back out. Okay, open your mouth up, put it down there. Oh, my goodness, negative 75 degrees. You see, we feel good about where we are. Amen. Hey, we all tonight, most of us didn't even do one ounce of self-examination today because, you know, we feel pretty good about where we are. Because you know what we decided? We decided, you know what? I'm better off today than I was last year in my Christian walk. And so we look at back, we say, you know what? Look where I was last year and look where I am this year. I'm doing good. I'm doing real good. You see, attending church, hearing preaching, or even reading a good Christian book is not self-examination. Now, may I say to you that Bible reading, prayer, and sermons can play a part in your self-examination process, but you and me, we must perform the examination on ourselves. You see, these things are usually what God uses to set up the examination appointment. That's the reason we come to church and the preacher preaches like all the good preaching in the conference last week, and we left out of here, man. You know what the Spirit of God's saying? Let's go home and examine now. Let's go home and do some examination. Oh, that hurt. Preacher, oh, that hurt so deep. It's called conviction. And you know what? The reason God's convicting you, He's saying, now we're going to go home and we're going to set an appointment up for an examination. And so the Holy Ghost of God sets that appointment up, and He uses these things to determine where we are and, may I say to you, what we are. So, what to examine about yourself. Now, we're not going to get far tonight, but I want to mention a couple of things. First of all, you got to determine who you are. You say, I already know who I am. Do you really? Now listen, what I'm about to say next, I'm not saying this to offend anybody. And by the way, I'm not saying this to insult anybody's spirituality. But can I say to you, if we're going to do a self-examination, let's just go right down to the root, okay? First of all, if we're going to determine who we are, we're going to have to decide, are you born again or not? Have you been born again? I'm not talking about had some a religious experience. I'm talking about have you met the Son of God? Have you experienced Bible salvation? Hey, if we're going to do a self-examination, we're going to have to just go right down to the root, okay? And we're going to have to examine, have I been truly born again like the Bible says? It's not, listen, people don't get born again because mama told them they were. People don't get born again just because they went down to the altar and cried. That's not being born again. You say, preacher, what's that born again experience? Take your Bible, if you would, for just a moment, and let me say, show you something here in John 3. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, speaking of Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Now that's a wonderful statement, because you're going to have to be born again if you're going to heaven. But don't you listen to me, he didn't stop there. He says, except a man be born again, he cannot see. He can't see. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, what I'm trying to say to you tonight, church, is this. I want you to understand that I'm not trying to insult anybody or scare anybody or cause you to doubt salvation. I'm just simply trying to get you to be honest with yourself. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to die without Christ because somebody told them they were saved. Or because they heard sermon after sermon after sermon about what they had to do to be born again and did nothing about it and sat in the pew and knew that they were without God. Can I just throw in a commercial here and say this? How can the Church of the Living God function properly or even go forward with a percentage of lost people making up its membership? Can I say that again? How can the Church of the Living God go forward if a percentage of its membership is without Christ? You say, do you want me to go home tonight and sit on the edge of my bed? No, if you know you're saved, you're saved. That's it. But if you've been battling within your soul and within your spirit, let me tell you something. I wouldn't let another day go by. without examination of myself and determine who you are. Are you born again or are you not born again? Are you saved or are you not saved? Because listen, folks, if Trinity Baptist Church is going to be what God wants us to be, we're going to have to diminish the percentage of those that are without Christ. And I'm just saying, well, I hate to say this because I need to hide behind the pulpit, but Jesus, the disciples said, you know what, Lord, how can you identify these people? He said, oh, it's not hard. He said, by their fruits, you'll know them. Hey, check out their leaf system. Check out and find out if they're producing any fruit. He said, because if they could don't give a rip about the church, if they don't give a rip about the Bible, if they don't give a rip about anything, and they mistreat people, and they're rude, and they're angry, and they never do anything for God. Now listen, let me say something to you. You know, people would say, well, preacher, aren't you judging something? No, I'm just inspecting fruit. That's what Jesus said, do, right? He just said, inspect the fruit. You know, right behind my house, the neighbors by my house, got a big old pecan tree. I walk out there and look at that, pecans all over. You know what I've determined? Ha, that's a pecan tree. You see, where I'm from, they don't call it pecan. It's cons. So I looked up there and I said, yeah, I'll say pecan tree. That's a pecan tree. The neighbors on this side of me have a peach tree. And Mrs. Badger, some of the limbs hang over my yard. Now, I just assume that the property line is my fence. And whatever is on his side is his. And what is on my side is still his. But sometimes they fall off in my yard. But you know what I've determined? That's a peach tree. You say, where did you get that revelation? I guess I learned it in school somewhere. But you know, I know the difference between a pecan tree and a peach tree. You know how? By its fruit. And you know how Jesus said, you know the difference between lost people and saved people? By their fruit. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. You see, I'm just asking you, have you been born again or not? Hey, may I say to you that meeting a well-known dignitary, athlete, or preacher, hey, you know what, most people don't forget that. People shake hands with a dignitary, say, see that hand right there? Yeah, that hand right there shook the hand of so-and-so. Oh, it did, huh? Come on, it's all right. I didn't really spit on it. Now, do you know most people, when they meet somebody of what they consider fame, they don't ever forget it? They never forget it. Can I say, too, if you've ever met Jesus, you ain't ever going to forget it. You're never, do you hear me? You will never forget it. I met Jesus Christ December the 2nd, 1984. You know where? 5 feet from where my foot is right there. And you know what? Ever since, I've never forgot it. I've never forgotten that there I met Christ. You know, a person has truly been born again, they'll never forget it. Hey, I'm just asking you, are you or are you not born again? Now, the next thing I want to say is going to take too long, so we're going to stop right there tonight. Is that all right with y'all? All right, we're going to stop right there. We'll pick up this next week. But I want you to listen to me, folks. What I'm saying is to you tonight, the reason that most of us do not go through the self-examination process is because of everything that's involved in it. It becomes inconvenient. It becomes intrusive. It becomes, oh, too much information. Right? Ever heard anybody tell you that? You're talking, time out. Too much information. But can I say that's what happens with self-examination? We get to a point where we thought, oh, I got to stop. Too much information. TMI. Right? And so when that happens, you know what we do? We pull up, don't we? Oh, TMI, Lord, TMI. And so we pull up and stop. And we never go through the full examination, which then reveals a diagnosis of what the problem is. I want you to bow your heads with me tonight. Father, we're grateful to be alive. thank you for what we've been able to study tonight. And I pray as we continue through this little study over the next few Wednesday nights that you would do something special in and through us now. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you tonight say, "Preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I've been born in